I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 27 and Matthew 28. Matthew is the very first book of the New Testament, and these are the last two chapters of that book, Matthew 27 and 28. In the midst of a wall-to-wall overload of bad news that is found easily enough out in the world right now, it is my privilege this morning to declare to you some good news. But first, let me share with you a story that illustrates just how desperately and just how greatly we need this good news. This is the story of a man and his family, a man named Cameron Cole. He lives down in Birmingham, Alabama. He's employed by a church there. He works in youth ministry. About 7 years ago, it was actually Sunday, November 10th, 2013, Cameron found his three-year-old son's lost Lego axe that the three-year-old son was very distraught about losing. So he found the lost Lego axe, and he showed it to his little boy, the little three-year-old boy. And the little three-year-old boy was so delighted to receive back his lost Lego axe that he immediately erupted into proclamations of, "Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus!" Which then, as often will happen with covenant children who are raised before the face of God, it then led to some pretty serious spiritual questions being asked by the three-year-old boy. Serious questions for a three-year-old, that is. First of all, he wanted to know if they could go and see Jesus, whom he wanted to thank for this returned axe. And his parents told him, no, Jesus is always with us, but we can't see him. Then he wanted to know if they could go drive to where Jesus was so that they could see him. And his parents told him, no, we won't see Jesus until we get to heaven. So then the boy started thinking about heaven. And he wanted to know if when they all got to heaven, if they would see Adam and Eve. And then he said, but I'm not going to eat that apple. And his parents reminded him that we all eat the apple. But remember, God sent Jesus because we all make the very same mistake that Adam and Eve made. We all sin. And then that little boy made a three-year-old profession of faith. He said, Christ died on cross. Christ died my sin. And then shortly after that wonderful conversation, Cameron, the dad, who I remind you is a youth director, left the home to go on an overnight camping trip. Him and another leader and some of their students, they went to go enjoy some time together out in the woods. Early the next morning, November 11th, Cameron woke up to three missed calls by his wife. Three calls from Lauren, his wife, all in under a minute. He called her back, and immediately he heard the sound of panic and terror in her voice. She was pleading with him to go to Children's Hospital in Birmingham as soon as he could, but she did not want to tell him why over the phone. He pressed her for information, and eventually and reluctantly she told him that their three-year-old son was dead. She went to his bed that morning to get him up, and she found him lying lifeless in his bed. The previously perfectly healthy three-year-old boy lying there lifeless. She called the paramedics. They came. They did all that they could, but she assured her husband that it was futile. In what remains a medical mystery, that healthy three-year-old child just inexplicably died in his sleep. It's something that happens to one out of every 100,000 children over the age of one. So, in the blink of an eye, he was gone. His life on earth had ended. Cameron's next words to his wife Lauren over the phone still surprised even him. He said to her, Lauren, Christ is risen from the dead. God is good, and this does not change that fact. Now, Cameron Cole was devastated. I know of his devastation through reading his book that he wrote about this. The book is entitled, Therefore I Have Hope, 12 Truths That Comfort, Sustain, and Redeem in Tragedy. But the story that lies behind that book is so heartrending, I can hardly stand to read it. But there's one shining truth in that book that makes it bearable and that even makes it beautiful. It's the shining truth that Cameron summed up for his wife immediately on the other side of hearing every parent's worst nightmare when he reminded her, Christ is risen from the dead. You may not be a mourning person, but my question for you this morning is, are you an Easter mourning person? The way that Cameron Cole and Lauren Cole are Easter mourning people. You may not be a mourning person, but are you an Easter mourning person? Now, simply because we missed our Good Friday service together, I'm going to back up the story a little bit this morning, and I'm going to start our reading in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. But I want you to know that we're only really considering today three verses, and really just three commands from those three verses, which will occur in chapter 28, verses 5, 6, and 7. But we begin with chapter 27, verse 50. This is God's word. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, Truly, this was the Son of God. There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in a rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, After 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, You have a guard of soldiers? Go, make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, Greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Let us pray. Lord, good, loving God, please send the light of your word to us today and bind up the brokenness of your people and heal the wounds inflicted upon us by sin and death. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. If you are on the church's email list, and I hope you are, then you would have received the DPC Thursday email this last week, and I hope you read it. And in reading it, you will have been invited to click on a link to see a 26-minute video that tells the entire story of the Bible. And I hope you enjoyed it. It's a 26-minute animated film based on Kevin DeYoung's best-selling book. He wrote it for children, but it's really for everybody. I love it. It's called The Biggest Story, and it was streaming for free either through today or until today. I'm not sure which. My favorite part of the story, the biggest story, is when the end of the Old Testament is summarized with these words. God sent miraculous prophets like Elijah and Elisha, and rebuking prophets like Amos and Malachi, and sad prophets like Jeremiah, and good news prophets like Isaiah. But it didn't matter which ones God sent or how many. The people never listened. Not for very long, anyway. Until one day it happened. God stopped sending the prophets. No more warnings, no more direction, no more word from the Lord, only silence for 400 years. God had sent prophets and priests and kings. He started out with Adam. He started over with Noah. He chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He gave Moses the law. He sent Israel judges. He raised up deliverers. He conquered enemies. He provided sacrifices. He lived among his people in a tent and in a temple. God gave them every opportunity and 10,000 chances. But still, sin and the serpent seemed to be winning, until all of a sudden they lost. And then he opens up the New Testament part of the Bible with these words. After all these downs and not too many ups, we come to a manger in the little town of Bethlehem. This is where we meet the new Adam, the child of Abraham, the son of David. It's with the stinky shepherds and the singing angels where we see the real deliverer, the real judge, the real conqueror. No one understood it completely at the time, but when Mary pushed out that baby, God pushed into the world the long-expected prophet, priest, and king. God gave his people a new law, a new temple, and a new sacrifice. Best of all, he gave his people a new beginning, just as he had promised. Of course, some things were different than what people had expected. The stable with the animals and the scandal with unmarried Mary were surprises to most folks. The miracles were remarkable. The teaching was unlike anything anyone had ever heard. The bumbling band of handpicked disciples, that was curious. But the biggest surprise to everyone was that the chosen one of God was chosen by God to die. It just didn't seem right that the one destined to crush the serpent would be crushed himself. So when Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, died on that cross on that Friday afternoon, it seemed a shocking evil beyond belief. And it was. It was the worst thing that's ever happened to this world. But it was also the best thing that's ever happened in this world. Just as we would expect from God and just as God planned it. We break promises so God keeps his. We run from God so God comes to us. We suffer for sin so the Savior suffers for us. Our story is the story of God doing what we can't, in order to make up for us doing what we shouldn't. The Christ suffers for our sin, that we might share in his sinlessness. And so, deliverers are born to die. Things fall apart so that they can come back together. God kicks his own people out of paradise and then does whatever it takes to bring them back in again. As you may have heard, and should definitely tell someone else, the snake crusher who died on the cross did not stay dead. He couldn't. Death had no claim on him, the devil had no case against him, and sin had no wages for him that he couldn't pay. Jesus just couldn't stay dead, and God just wouldn't let him rot in the tomb. So, on the third day, God raised him from the dead. Again, you may not be a morning person, but are you an Easter morning person? Let's find out. In the span of three verses in our reading today, three verses that announce the triumph of Easter morning, the angel gives these women three commands. Let's evaluate ourselves this morning. Are we really Easter morning people? Are we living as Easter morning people? Let's evaluate ourselves according to these commands. The first command happens in verse 5. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Ponder this for a moment. This week, if you were to stand near the entryway to Walmart, and if you were to ask everyone who is flowing past you to go into Walmart, if they would mind taking part in a one-question survey, and everyone who said sure, you asked them this one question. The question is this: what do you think is the most frequently given command in all of the Bible? The command that is most often repeated. What do you think that command is? What do you think people would say? What's the most frequently given command? They might say, don't do bad things. Read your Bible and pray. Do not lie. Be good. Love God. Love your neighbor. Don't be mean. Go to church. Stop doing that, or whatever it may be. Whatever they may think, all of that is wrong. And it's not even close. It's nowhere close. By far, 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 and far away, the most frequently given command in the Bible is the one that the angel just gave to these women in verse 5. Do not be afraid. And in fact, then, just to run up the score on this command a little bit more, Jesus then repeats it to the women down in verse 10. He tells them again, do not be afraid. Now, don't miss this. These women had plenty that would make them think that they should be afraid right now, just the way that some of us in this current worldwide crisis think that we have plenty of reason to be afraid. But let's go back to them. We'll come back to us at the end. Let's enter into the story. What is possibly making these women afraid right now? Just in the course of the verses that we read together this morning, this is what has happened. Their Lord has been ruthlessly murdered by the governing authorities. The temple curtain was torn in two. There was an earthquake. Rocks split open. Tombs were opened. Then there was another earthquake. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven. They have at their feet Roman guards who are dropped in, struck to the ground as if they were dead men. And now the angel says to them, do not be afraid. Why? Why should they not be afraid right now? Ultimately, it's because Jesus went to his death bearing the full weight of this world's evil. All the evil that has infected and corrupted human life in this world ever since Genesis chapter 3. Here we're talking about human evil, by which I mean our sins, and the vicious effects that our sin has, not only in our life, but in the lives of others, but also just physical world evil. Things that represent the thorn that came into the world back in Genesis chapter 3. Things like tornadoes and flooding and COVID-19 and death itself. Jesus bore the full weight of this world's evil, and he has now defeated it, as the angel is just about to announce in the very next verse, which means that something new has just happened, and this world is never going to be the same again, and that your life in this world, if your life is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ, your life in this world has just been turned upside down and inside out. And God is now with you in a new way. And the very first command that God sends your way via this angel in this new world that he has brought into existence through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, the very first command is, do not be afraid. God's new world had now begun at what happened at that tomb this morning. God's new world is now breaking into this old world. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ has now been inaugurated, and nothing will ever be the same again. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, for as by a man, and here he means Adam, who ate the apple, in the words of that three-year-old boy we were talking about earlier, for as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ made our enemy to be his enemy, which means, Christian, that death is no longer your battle to fight. Death is not your battle to fight. Christ picked that fight. Christ picked the fight and he won. As Paul goes on to say a couple of verses later, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power, for he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And the historical fact that Christ Jesus conquered death, rose from the dead on this first Easter morning, that is what puts this entire sequence into motion. And now that this sequence has been put into motion, its force is unstoppable. Nothing can stop it. And I want you to note carefully, Christian, that this sequence we're talking about, it depends upon you for absolutely nothing. It depends upon you for nothing. Christ has done it all. He broke the power of death. He crushed the head of Satan. He threw down the kingdom of evil itself. Christ has done it all, and all you have to do is believe. Do not be afraid. That's not only the first commandment given in the new world that began at the resurrection. It's the most frequently given commandment in all the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Do not be afraid. Are you an Easter morning person? Now's the time. Now is the time to shine. The second command comes in verse 6. Come and see. There are some people who, hearing what we've said so far this morning, say, but can this really be true? Do you really believe this? That Jesus of Nazareth 2,000 years ago really truly died and then really truly broke out of death, rose again back to the fullness of life. And can you really believe, can this really be true, that the same thing would happen to me, that I would overcome my future death just simply by believing in this man from 2,000 years ago? Can this really be true? Come and see. That's what the angel said to the women that morning. Come and see the place where he lay. He is risen. He is no longer here. And Christianity still makes much the same offer today. Come and see, to all who would question, to all who would wonder. Come and see. Come and explore God's new world that is broken into this old world through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come. Come with all of your questions. Come and examine the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. There are great things here to discover. Now, if you are looking at what we're saying this morning from outside of Christ, from outside of belief, to you, this path that we are on probably looks very frail, very flimsy, and very feeble. And I would say to you, come and see. And if you truly do come and see, you will find that this path we are on is rock solid. It is real. In fact, it is the most real and rock solid thing in this world. Come and see what it means to live a life that is based on what Jesus of Nazareth did 2,000 years ago when he really did defeat death itself, and he unleashed God's power in this world in a way that is in complete agreement with all the wonderful stories and all the wonderful promises that you read about in the Bible. Number one, do not be afraid. Number two, come and see. That's also what it means to be an Easter morning person. The third command, go and tell. That's what the angel next says to the women. Go and tell his disciples that he is risen and he will meet you in Galilee. Which leads to a much larger go and tell command down at the end of this chapter. At the end of this chapter is a command like that to the whole of the church. It's what we call the Great Commission. Now some Christians, as soon as they hear the phrase the Great Commission, there's this voice in their head that immediately starts saying, no, 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 that's not for me. That's for the professionals. That's for the really mature Christians. That's for the gifted Christians. That is a lie. That voice in your head is a lie. That is not true today. That has never been true, ever. That has never been true. And the proof of that is right here in our text this morning. Just look right here. Who are the first people who are given this command to go and tell? It's not the professionals. It's not Peter and James and John and the rest, because they're somewhere else when all this is happening. They are somewhere else hiding in fear and hiding in shame. That's where they are. But this command first comes to the most unlikely people of all in that culture. It first comes to the women who in that culture, and in fact, in every culture in this world, until the kingdom of Lord Jesus Christ, this new world, starts taking hold in that culture. In that culture, the women are viewed as the most insignificant and the most untrustworthy people around, and yet God honors them. They are the first ones to whom this command comes. Go and tell. And then notice again at the end, this is another one of these commandments that Jesus runs the score up on. He again tells them in verse 10, go and tell. There's a mystery at the heart of how God's new world takes hold in this old world and starts spreading and starts growing around the world. There's a mystery to this, and the mystery is this right here. It starts spreading and it starts growing when people simply tell other people, Christ is risen. Let me explain to you what that means. From the very beginning, this is the way it has always grown. This is the way it has always spread, especially in days like these that we are living right now. It's not just the professionals. You look throughout church history, it's the poor, it's the slaves, it's the persecuted. In fact, there's one quote from a pagan in the early days of the church in the Roman Empire who was complaining that it was spreading because women were gossiping about Christ to other women while they were doing the laundry, the village laundry, together. That's the way it happens. People telling other people in genuine love for them, Christ is risen from the dead. Let me tell you what that means. It's a strange and wonderful truth, but it makes perfect sense when you think about it, that God wants his new creation to grow through his renewed people. He doesn't want his new creation to grow through some sort of impersonal machinery at work. I mean, what would that look like anyway? What kind of impersonal machinery would do this? But the new creation is growing around this world through Easter morning people. Through new creation people, through people of love and faith who are telling other people, do not be afraid. Christ is risen. Come and see. Just as in the old creation, and what I mean by that is Genesis 1 and 2, just as in that creation, we human beings were called and commissioned by God to play an active role in the development of its life, take dominion, tend the garden, things like that. It's the same in the new creation. We play an active role in the development of this life. Go and tell. Go and tell. And just watch it happen. Just watch the message do its work through you. After all, that's how it happened to you, right? If you were a Christian this morning, how did it happen? Someone told you Christ was risen. And someone told you what that means. Well, all of this might sound great on Easter morning, but we might have some who are wondering deep in their heart, but does this really work in the real world? Sounds good on Easter, but does it really work in the real world? Cameron Cole made it to Children's Hospital in Birmingham. The friend he was camping with took him there. Cameron was in a daze, a fog, his head spinning the entire time. They parked where they shouldn't. A security guard said, "You can't park there." The friend said, "His son is dead in here. You can just take the car." They went inside. Cameron sat with his wife, Lauren, grieving in a family conference room, waiting for the doctors to come and deliver the official news now that the dad was there. They delivered the news. Cameron and Lauren went to another room in the hospital where their precious 3-year-old son lay lifeless on a hospital bed. They held him. They caressed him. They kissed him. They told him how much they loved him. They told him what a special boy he was. They knelt on the cold tile floor. They wept together. And they said goodbye to their son. And then Cameron put his hand on his little boy's chest. And he declared to all the doctors and nurses who were in the room, "If Christ Jesus is not risen from the dead, I am completely lost right now. I am done for. I am finished. I have no hope. But Christ is risen from the dead. And this little boy is with him right now in heaven. And one day, I will see him again." He writes later in his book, "This belief is not something I have just internally mustered up. It is not just merely a nice idea. Christ has risen from the grave and defeated sin and death. Nothing is hopeless. No chapter is closed. No shame or trauma is beyond God's restoration. No wound beyond his healing. If God can raise a man from death, he can certainly resurrect your life from the ashes." And that is what it means to be an Easter morning person. Let's pray. Lord God, your Son, Jesus, came into this world. He claimed to be God. He claimed to forgive sins. He claimed that he would redeem this world. And then he rose from the dead, proving it all to be true. God, we thank you for your promises of redemption in Christ Jesus, promises that are real, promises that are relevant in the real world, promises that are powerful. Redeem your people, O Lord, from all suffering, from all misery, from sin, from doubt, from despair, from shame, from guilt, from grief, from death. May the whole of our lives be buried with Christ in death, and raised with him in resurrection power. We ask in the saving name of Jesus. Amen.